Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
I would say that progress has been a theme for the Texans this offseason. I know there's some of you out there that were wishing they took big, huge 3 and 4 year swings on some guys, but they're better at a lot of positions. I think the perception of the team is better around the league. I think D'Amico Ryans helps out a lot with that. One measure of perception of the Texans, there's an article on Pro Football Focus that lists the various wide receivers that might be up for a trade this offseason. And previously, I don't think the Texans would have been mentioned for any of these guys, because why would the Texans be in position to trade for a good to great wide receiver? Why would any receiver want to go to those places? Because if you're going to trade for him, a lot of times you got to sign him to a contract next. There is an article on Pro Football Focus that has not just receivers, but players, but a few of them are receivers. DeAndre Hopkins is one of them. It seems like every Denver wide receiver is on this list. What is Denver doing? Is every wide receiver up for trade right now? Cortland Sutton, KJ Hamler is listed in this article. The thing that made me think about this, though, Seth, Jerry Jeudy. So yeah. All three Bronco receivers are listed in this article of possible trade candidates. So who knows? Maybe Sean Payton's cleaning house or picking and choosing who he wants to keep there. But Jerry Jeudy, who I like the best out of those three. Just quickly, possible landing spots for Jerry Jeudy: New England Patriots, Carolina Panthers, Minnesota Vikings, Houston Texans.
Yeah. If you're asking about like why would so many Broncos receivers be up on the trading blocks, I think that, again, I think people might be errantly confusing the strategy of the New Orleans Saints with the strategy of, like, Sean Payton with the New Orleans Saints with the strategy of the Broncos, which was the Saints didn't, like, spend a lot of money on wide receivers. But I think part of that was that they didn't think Drew Brees was necessarily, like, capable of really exploiting guys downfield. There's a lot of rhythm and timing, and, you know, when they did eventually really pay a receiver, it was Michael Thomas, who was a short area specialist and a run after the catch specialist more so than a genuine deep threat. I don't think that that's necessarily how Sean Payton, like, needs or wants to run things, but I think that might be why people think that those guys will be up for trade. But let's say that is the case. Yeah, I think that I was talking to a listener yesterday who was frustrated that Caserio had to draft a wide receiver in the first round. Like, what the hell? Like, how the hell do they expect a rookie quarterback to do well with this current room? And my response was simply, like, we're 1 week into free agency. There's the draft, yes, where they might draft somebody in the first round. But there's all kinds of trades available out there. When was A.J. Brown traded for last year?
It was a first and a third. When though?
It was draft night. Like five picks
before the Titans were picking.
And the Texans right now have too many draft picks. Like, they just flat out have too many draft picks. They got to either consolidate them into fewer draft picks, or they got to trade some of them away for players. So, yeah, Jerry Jeudy would be, man, I can't imagine Sean Payton would want to get rid of Jerry Jeudy right
well,
now.
He was
that wouldn't make any sense.
He was drafted in 2020. So this is what you have to think about if you're Nick. And you're the Texans, is, okay, he's drafted in 2020. He's 3 years in. So whoever has him is going to be making a fifth-year option decision soon. I think that's probably a no-brainer to give Jerry Jeudy the fifth-year option. Now, he has yet to have a 1,000-yard receiving season, but he did have 67 catches for 972 yards with that version of Russell Wilson as his quarterback last year.
Yeah.
And he got better as the season went on. Jerry Jeudy's a good player. Now, the thing about his stats being kind of down, I think he's a talented football player. He's probably not going to cost you what A.J. Brown would have certainly won't cost you, like Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams draft capital. Would you trade the 33rd pick in the draft for Jerry Jeudy?
No. I think that the Unless I really, unless like if Casario really thinks that the reason he hasn't developed into a guy that looks like a real number one is that is just because of his circumstances, because of a combination of coaching and quarterbacking. So that number 33,
it's the top of the second round. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. No.
Seth is thinking. You wouldn't do it?
Yeah, no, I'll trade a third round.
It's an interesting hypothetical, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of it may depend on what they do with the first. Some of it may depend on what they do with the second and the 12th pick. You know, if you come away quarterback, defensive player, and you look at it, you go, okay, 33. And who's on the board at 33, that kind of thing. I mean, it's more nuanced than just, would you do this? I could see a scenario where I would do that. Like if I were... If you know, you get through the first round of the draft, you're assessing things on Thursday night heading into Friday morning, and you get a phone call from George Payton, the GM in Denver, that Jerry Jeudy's available. I might do the 33rd pick for Jerry Jeudy. Now, he's, you know, you got 1 year left on cheap with him. Then you got a fifth-year option, which is going to be more expensive. And then presumably, you know, you're trading a decent draft pick for him.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna want to extend him. I would do it, but I could see either side of that. I'm not emphatic about it. But for whatever the reason, when I saw this, I'm like, wow, this is cool. The Texans are getting mentioned as teams that might make sense to actually start trading for good players, like Jerry Jeudy. For what it's worth, DeAndre Hopkins, he's the lead to this article. The possible landing spots for DeAndre Hopkins: Carolina Panthers, New York Giants, New England Patriots. All of those make sense to me.
Carolina Panthers, New York Giants, New England Patriots. Are the Giants going to be a little bit of gun shy after their most recent disaster?
Kenny Golladay?
With Kenny Golladay, yeah.
I can't believe you're mixing Kenny Golladay into the same sentence as DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre, somebody was pointing out that Judy's got an injury history too.
Yeah.
Like DeAndre's going to be 31. I long said that DeAndre's game would age well because it's not based on speed. It's more based on physicality and strong grip strength, I guess.
Yes.
But he's been getting banged up and injured and suspended for PEDs. That's where I guess you got to really wonder, like, what's his willingness to redo his deal right now? I think he could get traded for a good amount, but it's going to be to a team that doesn't want to – like the Cardinals made him – did they make him the highest-paid player
at the time?
A wide receiver at the time? They're certainly not going to do that, but I wonder if DeAndre realizes that's his situation.
Yeah.
Like that might be the holdup so far with DeAndre getting traded. It might just be that whatever his demands are, what his thoughts are, and what his contract would be, don't jibe with what other teams think they should.
Name that's not listed in this article, Seth, but that tweeted or that posted on his Instagram stories yesterday, something that people were taking notice of. Ed Oliver, native Houstonian, University of Houston. He is heading into his fifth-year option right now. He's been a good, solid player for Buffalo. He hasn't been a Pro Bowler yet or anything, but he's been a fixture in their defensive line rotation.
Yeah.
He posted a picture yesterday on Instagram, on his stories, and the caption was, it's him in his Buffalo uniform. You know, it's a still shot of a game between the Bills and the Vikings. And the caption is, enjoyed myself. Past tense. Enjoyed myself. So the tweet that I saw that captured this and tweeted it, Buffalo Bills Daily, said, Ed Oliver's recent IG story with the eyes looking to the side.
Yeah.
Do we see Ed play another down with the Bills again, or will we see a trade? Hand on chin emoji.
That was enjoyed myself. What's the picture of?
It's just him jogging on the field. It's like just him in his uniform on the field. You know, it's
okay.
So
it's not. He didn't say enjoyed my time here. He just said
enjoyed myself. Yeah, that's all. It's all. What are we to read into
cryptic.
That? Yeah.
It's not like he's unaware of whatever comments people would have made after that, right? Like he's not one of these I don't check the comments.
No,
guys.
No. Look, if we're gonna read into this being the most football salacious thing.
Yeah.
He's heading into his fifth-year option, and he doesn't have a contract extension. You know, like, we know how it works with a lot of these first-round picks, is if you like them, they're viewed as foundational guys that you've extended by now. That's if it were to be him wanting out or thinking he's going somewhere else or trying to at least plant that seed with the Buffalo Bills, that would seem to be the reason why, I would guess. Do you like Ed Oliver? Would you trade for Ed Oliver?
I like him. You know, he's gotten better as a run defender. I think he had a slow start in the NFL because he was very raw when he came out of Houston in terms of ability to use his hands. And for an undersized guy, that was going to be an issue. Like, Aaron Donald is money with his technique. You know, he's super explosive and powerful, but he's also money with his technique. And Ed Oliver was raw in that capacity. So he worked at it, and over the course of a couple of years, he turned himself into a very solid player. I don't know if right now that's the – I don't know if he's necessarily the body type and style of player that D'Amico wants. D'Amico wants guys that can get upfield and rush the passer, but he also wants guys who who can anchor down and play conventionally, like old school read and react when they need to. Not all the time, but just like they've got to have a. If you look at the Tampa 2 offenses, if you think of like a Leslie Frazier or a Lovie Smith, defense. They don't just run Tampa 2 anymore, but there's still this mentality of, like, getting upfield and not worrying about stopping the run. You just stop the run on your way to the passer. D'Amico's defense isn't like that. Like, D'Amico wants his players to be more well-rounded, and his game isn't quite that. He could change it, of course, but I just don't see the Texans trading for him.
That tweet that I saw kind of just sent me into a little Ed Oliver wormhole yesterday. I was just kind of, you know, like, oh, okay, would this make sense? So I was watching some YouTube, and then I went to his Pro Football Focus page. And to your point about his run defense, I was shocked at his splits on number of passing downs he's in for versus running downs that he's in. He's in there for, comparatively speaking, very few run plays he's in there for.
They bring him in for nickel and dime.
That surprised me a little bit.
It's obviously, if the right price, I just don't think he's an ideal fit for what they're really looking for. And they've already added Sheldon Rankins. Yeah. I know it's just a one-year deal, but that's money spent and the interior defensive line. I would just be surprised if that's where they chose to go, which for somebody who could be just a short time.
I'm with you on that. I figure his roots here in Houston, people might be interested in what's going on with Ed
Oliver
either way.
Well, this is what Ed Oliver, when he was good in college, he was like, he's freakishly strong, so he wouldn't get bounced around, but it was almost like he was just like a vicious pinball, like on the inside, where he'd kind of just run into people and bounce off. Like, he'd run into a center, the center couldn't get a hold of him, and then he would head upfield. Where in the NFL, you can't get away with that. You gotta use your hands, and you gotta use moves to get past guys. So it took him a couple years to figure that out, because he'd been getting by on just flat out natural ability for a long time. And it's just, so it would be like a further refinement of him into a player that he isn't already.
People think I'm stupid on the text page. They're like, Judy for a 2, Max a 3. I'd give a third this year and maybe a third next year for Judy. Not interesting at all, Sean. Terrible trade. They're basically calling me Ryan Poles. I'm trading a high 2 for Chase Claypool. That's what I'm doing right now.
The 2 is, boy, you know what the 2 is, Sean, though? Oh. That's a high 2, especially. A high 2 for a non-marquee wide receiver is something you do at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
That's this guy can be the piece that fits right now.
I'm with you.
I don't think you do it right this time of year.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not with all these texters that are taking it super personal.
I have a hard time. I get it. When people ask me about hypothetical trade scenarios, the problem is it's all over the place for wide receivers.
It is.
Guys go for twos that Mohamed Sanu went for a 2 to Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio when there's no way in hell he should have gone for a 2
right.
A couple years ago. He was out of the league within like 3 months.
No.
And then other guys go for fifth and next year.
There's no menu for these things. It's all in the moment. It is. All right. Daniel Jeremiah, he was on with Zach Gelb, our colleague over at CBS Sports Radio, who's on with him last night. And gave, I thought, interesting comps for Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. And what would this draft look like if there were two other names in it this year? That is next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.